Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
And good afternoon, all, and good to have you aboard today as there's no government shutdown. Well, at what price? Yes, at what price? Oh, boy, this is 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. And, of course, we're also at 1063WORD.com, 1063WORD.com. The Ingalls Advantage talk line is 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307, 71307. So what can I tell you, boys and girls? Here we are, and the president has declared a national emergency, of course, and therein lies any number of possibilities. Now, we have noted before on this program the various ways that a national emergency, in fact, ought to be quite legal, and I'll go over some of those with you this afternoon. But the Brennan Center for Justice at the New York University School of Law has offered some thoughts about this. And again, New York University School of Law, not a hotbed of conservative thought, okay? If they think the president can do this, the odds are that a lot of liberals will reluctantly, nail-bitingly, teeth-grittingly say, yes, he can do it also, okay? But they say, first of all, that there are 136 statutory powers available to presidents in national emergencies. There is, of course, the National Emergencies Act of 1976, which would likely face challenges in court and also has an override provision for Congress. And so Congress and the courts would probably trip over themselves in their efforts to try and see who can block the president first. But there are others. There are at least four other ways in which the president could, in fact, invoke a national emergency to build the wall. And I want to go over them with you now that they are no longer hypothetical, but looking at us. Again, this does not rely on the National Emergencies Act of 1976. Nine minutes past 3 o'clock here at 106.3 WORD on this Friday afternoon. First of all, there is Section 2808 of the Federal Law on the Role of Armed Forces. That permits the Secretary of Defense to begin military construction projects that aren't authorized by law using money appropriated for other military construction projects. Such projects must be, quote, necessary to support such use of the armed forces. And unnamed congressional sources have told the Wall Street Journal and the Washington Post that there could be billions of dollars in money right here available in the Pentagon budget for the border wall. That's one of the provisions. Section 2808 of the Federal Law on the Role of the Armed Forces. Now, same law, but Section 2803 allows some funds appropriated for military construction to be spent on projects that aren't specifically authorized if they're used for national security and protecting U.S. troops. Okay, well, national security would qualify. Again, by my definition and by, I would imagine, most of your definitions. Okay, that takes us to Section 2293 of the Federal Law on Navigable Waters. Yeah, I know. What the heck does that have to do with anything? This is the federal government, okay? And this governs reprogramming during national emergencies. Now, this law allows not the Defense Secretary, but the Army Secretary to stop work on Army civil works projects during a national emergency and redirect troops and resources to, quote, authorized civil works military construction, and civil defense projects that are essential to the national defense, unquote. Again, is this the national defense? Many of you would agree with me that it is. Many a court would say, no, it ain't. But there it is in the law. And fourth, Section 284 of the U.S. Code on the Role of Armed Forces, which authorizes the Secretary of Defense to provide support for counter-drug activities and to block drug smuggling. This law, which does not, by the way, require any declaration of a national emergency at all, allows construction of roads and fences. And I would presume that even maybe the W word, walls. So, and again, this is a liberal group, the Brennan Center for Justice at the New York University School of Law. They found overall 136 statutory powers available to presidents during national emergencies. And here are four of them that they believe, this liberal group believes, is within the power of the presidency. Now, most of the arguments you hear against the president doing this rely on use of the National Emergencies Act of 1976. And that is the one which will face a lot of judicial challenges and possibly even some legislative challenges in view of the legislative override that exists in that law. These four do not depend on that law. And again, I'm not a lawyer, but the liberal lawyers at the Brennan Center say that these are powers that would belong to the president. My guess would be that, of course, the president and his legal team have been getting their ducks in a row for some time now, and that, in fact, they will pretty much have this nailed down exactly what they intend to do. But this is a peek at what apparently they would be able to do. Now, Section 284 of the U.S. Code on the Role of the Armed Forces, which does not require a declaration of a national emergency, is not only a separate possible ground for the president to take action, it could be a building block for the president to assert power under the Section 2293 on the navigable waters, which requires the wall to be an authorized project. It could be argued, we're getting it a little lawyerly here, but that's okay. This is where the country is dragging us. It could be argued that Section 284's reference to a drug smuggling fence constitutes the wall authorization that's needed under 2293. Now, this is according to an expert who has spoken with the New York Times. Would this hold up in court? Well, you and I would think so. Vice President Pence, for the record, has argued that the influx of immigrants entering the country illegally at the southern border has created a humanitarian and national crisis, national security crisis. Okay? Administration officials have also linked immigration to terrorism. And, of course, there is the question of drug dealers. There is the question of just gangs, criminal gangs. And, of course, in addition to that, people who come into the country carrying communicable diseases. All, it would seem, legitimate bases for declaring a national emergency. Now, at least one law professor at the University of Texas, Steve Vladek, tells the Wall Street Journal that the courts are unlikely to second-guess a president's judgment on what constitutes a national emergency because the statutes don't provide a definition. Well, I certainly hope he's right. The administration could mount serious arguments backing up the emergency powers. According to William Banks, he's a law professor at Syracuse University, who spoke with the New York Times. So, there's all of that to consider. So, the battle of what constitutes a national emergency is about to be joined, and that's some of the stuff on our side of the fence. Jimbo for Bobby Mack here on this Friday afternoon. Time now is 3:15. Is that my cue, pray tell? That's my cue. I thought it was. Okay, it's 3:20 here at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. Delighted to be with you here this afternoon and to offer some takes on the day's activities. And, of course, through it all, We're going to be seeing the big battles that are forthcoming. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, are they forthcoming. And what's, of course, particularly remarkable would be the extent to which the president is going to be running into, again, trouble from his own party, even more than usual. Even more than usual. I mean, it is just it is a bizarre circumstance. But, of course, for the record, the president declared a national emergency at the border. This as the basis for trying to get some more of the money needed to build the wall that Congress is denying him. And, of course, this has changed the policy dispute into a fundamental confrontation over separation of powers. Now, one thing about the Supreme Court, they are such chickens when it comes to issues like this. It's like they're afraid they're going to lose a primary election. You're in there for life, okay? Just do your job. You don't have to worry about job security. You leave when you resign, retire, are impeached and convicted, or they carry you out in a pine box, okay? So just do your job and make a ruling here. The announcement that the president made this past morning had the president saying he was going to, in fact, sign the declaration to protect the country from the flow of drugs, criminals, and illegal immigrants coming across the border from Mexico, which he characterizes as a profound threat to national security. I think that there is a serious case to be made for that. But, oh, is he going to run across some serious opposition to that notion? As the president put it, we're going to confront the national security crisis on our southern border, and we're going to do it one way or the other. It's an invasion, he added. We have an invasion of drugs and criminals coming into our country. Yes, we do. And the president might have added, had he chosen to, we also have an invasion of some people who may be well-meaning, but that doesn't matter. You know, if I break into your house, okay, and I do so for the purposes of telling you that, you know, I think I saw your dog running loose in the park. You know, that's not how you do it. You leave a note on the door, or you call animal control or something like that. Breaking into somebody's house is not the way to do this. And even for people who say, I want to contribute to your economy, we don't care. We don't care. It's our border. We'll decide if we need you. And this is really the very crux of this whole thing. Who decides? And sovereign countries have that right and, I would say, responsibility. So, for what it's worth. The president sought to deny that he was taking an action because he could not persuade Congress to give him the money. But, of course, he may have undercut his own argument that the border situation requires urgent unilateral action. He said, I didn't need to do this, but I'd rather do it faster. I want to get it done faster. That's all. So that might not have been the best way to phrase that. But in any event, that is how the president did phrase that. 1-800-347-1063 is the number to give us a shout hereabouts. We would love to have you with us today. That, of course, is the Ingalls Advantage talk line, 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307, 71307. Now, this announcement came during a rather freewheeling appearance in which Mr. Trump touched on a variety of topics, the economy, China trade talks, his coming summit with the North Korean leader. He suggested again that he should win the Nobel Peace Prize and reviewed whether conservative commentators have been supportive of him, dismissing Ann Coulter, who, of course, has not been. The president was back and forth on this issue for a time. He does not feel that he lost his two-month drive to press Congress to give him the border money, even as he criticized former Speaker Paul Ryan, without naming him as such, for failing to provide the funding when Republicans controlled the House. The president's speech and answers to questions were replete with a variety of other controversial areas. So suffice it to say, we've gone down the road now. We are going in the direction of a national emergency. There are bases for doing so, and frankly, I'll put it this way. I believe that regardless of what happens at the district court and appellate court levels, I've heard it said that this will start in the Ninth Circuit, which is, of course, a terrible liberal circuit. If it makes it to the Supreme Court, I would have to think that the Supreme Court will ultimately give him a victory. But the question is, when? How long does it take for this to get into the district courts, to be ruled, to be appealed to the U.S. Circuit Court, to be ruled, to be appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court, to be ruled? This year? I don't know. But we're certainly not talking a week from Thursday, right? I mean, this is going to take a while. I believe the president can win. I certainly believe that he ought to win. But the issue, of course, is whether or not he will, in fact, win. And, of course, there are a variety of things that the president could do. Again, in addition to the declaration of an emergency, which he has done, there is that portion of the law, which we noted just a second ago, the Section 284 of the U.S. Code on the Role of the Armed Forces, which does not require a declaration of a national emergency. There is also another area in which the president could go, and that would be the area of seizing the money held by drug dealers like the recently convicted El Chapo. It's estimated that he has some $14 billion in assets, although his attorney calls that wildly inflated, but what do you expect his attorney to say? So there is that money, although there will be a battle over that as well, and of course laying our hands on it. I doubt that most of that money is sitting in a savings and loan in downtown Washington. You'll have to get a hold of it, and that would entail probably going through international entities that might or might not be friendly to this purpose. And there is one other area that we'll also explore, another area in which the president might very well prevail and do so without the need even for a national emergency, which again would put him at odds with more than a few people. So suffice it to say the battle is joined, and we're hopeful of what may eventually come out of this. 1-800-347-1063. 1-800-347-1063 is the Ingalls Advantage talk line. And over at the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, Jim, LOL, Rush Limbaugh gave President Trump permission to sign this horrible amnesty trap bill. I heard him say he had no choice myself. Well, of course, the president doesn't really have to, quote, get permission from Rush Limbaugh. It just seems that way sometimes. It's not a great law, by the way. That in and of itself is something else that we'll talk about when we come back later. 1,100 pages and some bad things in it. That's true. Jimbo for Bobby Mack. Time now, 3:29. How do you do? And a good afternoon, all, as we have now 24 minutes before 4 o'clock on this Friday afternoon. Thank goodness it's Friday. Although this is one of the more unusual days, to say the least. All right. Anyway, 106.3 WORD, of course, is the Upstate's talk station, but you knew that, right? And also at 1063WORD.com, the Ingalls Advantage talk line is 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 71307, 71307. And I mentioned, let's just go to the text line, first of all, here, where various people are offering things such as, let's see, if Trump was controlled by Rush Limbaugh, there would countless more great actions, executive orders, and amazing results. Well, who's to know? It's, frankly, a lot easier to run a talk show than it is to run a country, but be that as it may here. Let's see. Texter says, Jim, stop the illegals and you stop a multitude of problems that go hand in hand with illegal immigration, saving trillions on a multitude of all the problems on the border. The Dems have backed the war on drugs, but to no avail. Well, examining that piece by piece. Yes, I agree. Stop the illegals and you stop a multitude of problems. That's very true. No question about that. However, let's not forget that there remains an unholy alliance in this country of people who do not want to stop illegal immigration. You have, on the one hand, Democrats who calculate that they don't like people like you and me, and by you I mean most of the people in this audience. They don't like our votes, and they can't get rid of us, and so they want to outnumber us. And this seems like a great way to do that. Get a ton of people coming into the country, and, hey, legally or not, you know, either way, it's not of great concern to these folks, but legally or not, you get these people into the country, and there are your new voters. In terms of those people who are opposed to adequate border security, I see four main groups here. First are the simple-minded young people who've had the mantras of diversity and inclusivity drummed into their little pinheads from the moment they entered preschool. And never mind that the diversity includes gang members, drug dealers, human traffickers, terrorists, and those with communicable diseases. This is the hold hands and sing kumbaya generation, for whom reasoning has been replaced by feelings. I've got such feelings. And these deluded little souls, of course, are easy prey for Nancy Pelosi's claim that a wall is immoral. They'll believe anything you tell them if it makes them feel warm and fuzzy. One can only hope that the acquisitions of mortgages and children will impose maturity on them, but that could be too late down the road. Second, are those who are the true believers, the more intellectual of the kumbaya clueless, who buy into anything Bernie Sanders has to say about the wonderful benefits of socialism. And if you point out socialism's track record, of course, you are racist, sexist, xenophobic, homophobic, and every other imaginable ist and ick. Their view is that no problem is so insurmountable that it can't be overcome with slogans and accusations. Third are the cynics. Barney Frank is foremost among them. The former Massachusetts congressman was once asked why unions, a key component of the Democratic Party coalition, should go along with open borders and the resulting downward drag on their paychecks. And give old Barney his due, he was honest. Frank replied that in the short run, such uncontrolled immigration would indeed undercut union wages. But so Barney argued, over time, the influx of new voters, legal or illegal, who really cares, would permanently alter the political landscape and let the Barney Franks of the world vote in socialist heaven right here in the good old USA. They hate voters like you and me, and since they can't eliminate us, they intend to outnumber us. National security, they genuinely believe that only giving liberals the right to rule will give us national security. They really believe that, and that includes maybe a few people who die at the hands of illegals. Well, that is acceptable collateral damage. I'm just telling you what they really think. Fourth are the cowards. And these are the democratically elected officials who know, or the mostly Democrats, but not only, who know full well that open borders are hypocritical folly, but they see people like former New York Democratic Congressman Joe Crowley. Crowley, of course, was on his way to someday probably replacing Pelosi as leader of House Democrats when along came Alexandria Ocasio-Brainiac, who beat him by being even more liberal than he is. Never mind that she couldn't pass an eighth-grade civics class, if they still taught eighth-grade civics. Dianne Feinstein's main opponent to re-election last November wasn't a Republican, but a fellow Democrat who ran to the left of Feinstein. Yes, there are Democrats who feel Dianne is just a little too conservative, believe it or not. These Democrats would be persuadable to reason if you can convince them that voting their common sense won't cost them their seats. Okay? So, it's still up in the air, I think, as to who prevails. But for what it's worth, that's pretty much where we stand right now. And it's a problem, of course, coupled with Republicans who cannot seem to see the wisdom of what we have been saying over and over and over and over and over again. Okay, Technical point. FYI, it's not the president's job to run the country. It is his job to lead. Quite correct. So it is. All right, fine. We can nitpick on that particular terminology. It's a lot easier to conduct a talk show than it is to lead a country, okay? Which was the original point of all of this. All right. Anyway, that's some of what we have going this afternoon. We have Mike in Spartanburg this afternoon to call in. Good evening, Mike.
Hey, good evening. Thank you for taking my call. A quick question on this emergency border wall situation. If this has to go to the Supreme Court, is it a majority that would have to, a majority rule on this?
Yes, the all Supreme Court rulings are by majority. Now, the only exceptions to that are when justices have to recuse themselves for this or that reason. But yes, it would be a majority, and I don't know why anybody would have to recuse themselves, so it would be a majority of 9 justices. That's correct.
Okay, so I'm going to start a conspiracy theory here. you know, the Democrats are dumb, but they're not stupid. I'm just going to say that they got Ruth Ginsburg hidden away somewhere. They got her. They anticipated this, and they're just going to bring her out to be the tiebreaker at the very end.
Well, I mean, she's still alive, and she's still, you know, they made a movie about her called The Notorious RBG. The name of the movie is not Weekend at Ruthie's, at least not yet, so.
You're right. All I got to say is I'm glad that we don't have people on the border aiming missiles at us, and we have to go through, courts to get, the okay to go ahead and shoot back.
Yeah, well, you know, it'd probably be a little easier if we, in fact, had people. It wouldn't be easier on the Border Patrol types, but it would be easier to convince some people that, in fact, we are allowed to defend ourselves. But, yeah.
You're right. Well, you have a great weekend.
Mike, you have a great weekend and a great afternoon as well, and thank you for your call. Mike in Spartanburg there at the Ingalls Advantage talk line, 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063. And our, of course, Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307, 71307. We've been examining some of the things that have been sent out to us textually this afternoon. I'll be back, by the way, on Monday, and we'll do the Bob thing at that time on President's Day. But it's certainly... it's going to be a battle, folks, and you've got not only Democrats in Congress, but some Republicans who were very upset with this whole notion of declaring a national emergency. I'll give you some thoughts that have been offered in that regard when we come back. And then you've got the courts, where I believe the president would prevail ultimately, but it'll take a while to get to the Supreme Court. All righty, Jimbo for Bobby Mack, 106.3 WORD. It's 3:45. Good afternoon. Good to have you with us today. 10 minutes now before 4 o'clock on this Friday afternoon, the day after Valentine's Day. And I guess this is sort of a Valentine for federal workers, if you will. The rest of us, maybe not so much. Let us speak with Jerry in Spartanburg this afternoon. Hello, Jerry.
Jimbo, how you doing, buddy?
I'm well, sir. Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to make a comment here. First time caller on the radio show. Just want to say I'm proud of Donald Trump. He's our president. He's had some tough decisions to make. I don't agree with a lot that's in the bill, but I believe he's fighting for this country, and he's the only one doing it. And he's got my support. I wish we could get more Republicans in the office to back him up. And I think it's sorry the way the Democrats are doing this country.
Well, I don't happen to agree with what they're doing either on any number of areas like that Green New Deal. I think it's pretty clear that that they have just been fools that are acknowledged as fools by even many in their own party. On this issue, Jerry, for whatever reason, on this issue, there are a lot of people in this country who just get into this warm and fuzzy Statue of Liberty thing, and then we got to welcome everybody here. No, we don't. And, no, and I don't know how you attack that. I mean, logic is not what appeals to these people.
That's exactly right. And you talk about the Green Deal. I work for an energy company. And I tell you, I thought I never was a Republican, and I really wasn't sure what it was. I thought when Obama was coming into office, I thought, you know, let's try something different. And I ain't lying, I voted for Obama. Biggest mistake ever made. He tried to destroy the company that I worked for. And just by the grace of God, we was able to hold on till Trump came into office and saved our industry and saved thousands of jobs.
Yeah. May I ask, Jerry, what kind of energy you deal with?
I'm in the oil and gas industry.
Oil and gas, okay. Very good.
Yep. But, you know, like I said, I was younger and really didn't know a lot about politics. You know, I've matured a lot since then, and like I said, I'm fighting for Donald Trump, fighting for this country, and you know, just I wish we could get a lot more other people to stand with us. And like I said, we have to have a limit on immigration. I'm not against immigration.
No.
Work with all kinds, and you know, I respect people. That's me. I just want respect.
You know, that's the key.
You assimilate and treat people with respect. That's all I ask.
Yeah, that's the thing that bugs me the most. I think it bugs a lot of people, Jerry. This has nothing to do with immigration or being anti-immigration.
Absolutely
this
not.
Is about obeying the law and the right of a sovereign country to determine who gets in. How many, for what reason, and for how long. I mean, that's all this is about. And the people who phrase this as anti-immigrant are liars, because when you tell a falsehood that you know to be false, you're a liar. Now, there are people on the left who are too stupid to know any better. But believe me, the leaders, the Pelosis and the Schumers and the others, they know better. They know that that's not the position of those who want to control our borders. They lie about it. Capital L, lie.
That's exactly right. And if they had to suffer some of the consequences that real Americans have to suffer, then they would, you know, they would quit preaching that lie. And it's just a shame that they don't have to, you know, suffer consequences that real American citizens do.
Well, they tend to have constituencies that like, take Nancy Pelosi. I mean, she doesn't have a nationwide constituency. Nancy Pelosi has two constituencies. For re-election every 2 years, she has San Francisco, as liberal a place as you can find in the country. And then, on a day-to-day basis, she has the Democratic Caucus in Congress. And those are her only constituencies. People like you and me, we don't have any say-so. We didn't vote for Nancy Pelosi.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a shame. I don't really... Lindsey Graham, I don't know that he supports it like he should.
Well, he's been pretty solid on this most of the way. Lindsey has been off and on various issues, but he's backing the president in his call for a declaration of national emergency, which, you know, I mean, like Marco Rubio has come out and indicated that he's not in favor of that. And I understand the argument against that. I can outline it, but I think on balance it's necessary.
And, you know, I think Marco Rubio is really one that shows that he knows what was in the bill. Like I said, he's against it. I'm just wondering how much Lindsey Graham knew about this new bill that they're putting forward.
Well, I mean, he knew as much as anybody.
We're going to hear a lot more that's really going to really hurt this country.
Well, I can give you some of the things in this bill that aren't good. It's 1,100 pages, and it was introduced in the middle of the night. And, of course, the vote in the Senate was 83-16. Interestingly enough, you had conservative Republicans and you had liberal Democrats who voted against that. But, of course, 83 votes in favor, and it sailed right through.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
alrighty.
All right, Jerry. I thank you for your thoughts, and I appreciate your listenership. And good luck in your work in the energy industry that keeps us all provided with the energy that we need. I note one thing in this funding bill, this 1,100-page bill, Section 224A of the bill. Section 224A. Bear with me. I'll read this. None of the funds provided by this act or any other act may be used by the Secretary of Homeland Security to place in detention, remove, refer for a decision whether to initiate removal proceedings or initiate removal proceedings against a sponsor, potential sponsor, or member of a household of a sponsor or potential sponsor of an unaccompanied alien child. Now, take the legalese out of that. In simple English, every new unaccompanied minor who arrives at our border will trigger an amnesty for multiple adult illegal aliens who are already in the country. The illegal aliens who will be eligible for protection from removal include not just actual sponsors, but those who might be potential sponsors and every member of their households if this bill is enacted. And, of course, now it has been. Expect the latest surge of unaccompanied minors this country has ever seen. In exchange for a mere one-third of his already pared-down border wall, this bill is going to be triggering unprecedented border chaos and amnesty for untold number of illegals. And that's just one part of this bill. It's another one of those you've got to pass it to see what's in it type of bills, the usual brain-dead pap that was passed out by Nancy Pelosi about Obamacare. So that's where we stand. It is not a good bill. Well, we'll talk some more about just what all it is, but it's got problems besides a lack of wall funding. Jimbo for Bobby Mack at 106.3 WORD. The time now, 4 before 4.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.